Welcome to the With You Always podcast, brought to you by Come Follow Me, where we invite followers of Jesus Christ to share reflections and wisdom from the journey. Our hope is to instill a recognition that God is indeed with us always. Today, Zach Krieger shares what God has been doing in his life.
Today we're going to meditate on the reading, or a line here from the reading of the day. Today is Saints Simon and Jude, and we get the account from Luke's Gospel, Luke chapter 6, about Jesus' call of the apostles. And so the first couple lines, they stand out to me today as I'm looking at this reading. Luke 6, and it's verses 12 and 13. And it came to pass in those days that he, Jesus, went out into a mountain to pray, and he passed the whole night in prayer of God. And when day was come, he called unto him his disciples, and he chose 12 of them. And so a couple things stand out to me about this. First, it's the line where Jesus spends all night in prayer. I can't make it 30 minutes without falling asleep. And sometimes I fall asleep really, really soundly in the church. Like, it's probably really embarrassing if anyone walks in. I can barely stay awake. And here Jesus is spending all night in prayer. And I know he's fully divine, but he's also fully human. And his day is so active, and he's given himself so fully to all of these people. And he's constantly answering questions from the apostles. And he's constantly also perceiving the sins of those around him, and he's bearing those things. And yes, he's receiving all this love and praise as well, you know, in his Godhead from all these people as well. But at the same time, you know, he has to be worn out. He also knows that he's calling these men, and of these men, only one of them is going to be at the foot of the cross, and the rest are going to run away from him. One will deny him. One will betray him. I mean, that's exhausting. And yet he spends all night in prayer, right? He is so enraptured by God, and he relies so completely on God that before a big moment, the calling of the apostles that he's going to establish his church on and through, he goes up into a mountain. He hikes a mountain first off, and then he sits and prays, and he prays all night. And so that stands out to me. That seems to me to be daunting. Like, I'm reading a novelization of St. Rose of Lima's life with my girls for their school. I'm reading that to them. And it talks about how she would only sleep 2 hours at night. And she regularly offered all of her prayers and work for various souls. And she had such great zeal for souls. And once again, I'm falling asleep after I'm sitting in a pew still for 5 minutes. And so I look at this, and there's a sense of desire and maybe a little bit of discouragement when I see this call, and I know how far away I am from living up to that ideal of Jesus. I'm reading also C.S. Lewis's book, The Great Divorce. And this book, if you haven't read it, it describes the journey from hell or purgatory into heaven. And it describes two kind of cities, the gray city, and then kind of this big plain, I guess it's not a city, but this plain of heaven, like the entryway of heaven almost. And so the gray city expands for miles and miles, and you have to go thousands of miles to get from one, you know, block to the next block of the city, kind of a thing. And you can have basically anything that you want, but it's a pretty poor version of it. And it's always kind of rainy, and it's kind of cloudy, and there is this drizzling rain, and none of the walls can seem to keep out the rain. While to them, it seems kind of just like an ordinary, just kind of blah day. what they find is if they get on this bus that's at this bus station right in the center of the town, and the farther you get away, the deeper you get into the gray city, the farther away you get away from this bus stop and the chance of ever getting on the bus. But they find once they get on this bus, if they're willing to do it, and many people line up, but for whatever reason, jump out of line. If you take this bus, you get up into the entryway to heaven, and you find that it's not just a blah place, that it could potentially be hell. Because in the gray city, they have this constant debate going on amongst the citizens that if that grayness that envelops the city is the gray that we experience right before the sunrise or the sunset. For some, if they remain in the city, it will be the sunset. For those that get on the bus and get off the bus and remain in the foot, you know, in the foothills of heaven and go deeper into the mountains of deep heaven is what they call it. That was really the sunrise. But either way, when they get off this bus, they realize they have a hard time walking because real ground is hard to walk on for them. And they look and they realize that they're ghostly, that they're transparent. And so you watch this series of conversations between the ghosts and various people from their lives that are in heaven, that are citizens of this heavenly land, that come back to greet them and try and talk them into staying. And so you see these different conversations throughout the book. And the narrator, C.S. Lewis, is having these conversations as well with his own heavenly person that comes to speak to him. And one of the conversations really strikes me when I think about this discouragement at not being able to do these great things. And that is this conversation between who C.S. Lewis calls the big man and his friend that he finds. And I guess you wouldn't call him a friend. He was a former employee. And you come to find out that the guy that's in heaven actually murdered someone, and his boss was the big man that lived in the gray city. And so the man in the gray city is looking at this person that lives in heaven, and they look resplendent. They're shining like the sun. They look otherworldly, almost godlike. And the gray city citizens are all ghostly. And you see this guy that was the former employer of this convicted murderer. He looks at his former employee and he says, "How are you here? I've done everything that I need to. I'm respectable. Maybe I wasn't religious, but I'm good. I didn't take any charity. I did all these, like, I was a fine, upstanding man. I made money and I took care of my kids and I did all these things. You know, I was a good, decent human being. And you are a murderer and here you are galloping around in heaven." It's interesting that the ghost doesn't, he says, "Yes, but that doesn't matter now." Right? He just says, "Just stay here a little bit longer. Live in this heavenly realm and you'll start to see that those things just don't matter anymore. It just melts away. You can laugh off some things." Not that he's laughing at that murder, but he said, actually, it was that thing, he's like, wasn't even the worst thing I did. I was half mad. I was barely in control of myself. But the things that led up to that were worse. And he said that was a changing moment in my life. And the big man, you know, calls out, "Well, I don't need your bleeding charity." And the murderer says back to him, "Yes, call upon the," and then in all caps, "bleeding charity," like God's, the blood of Christ, call upon that in your life and come and live with us. And it's you see conversations like this all throughout the book. And so it really brings you into this mindset of contemplating life after this life, which is the goal of the book. But it strikes me that my discouragement seems kind of silly. I mean, all these things seem kind of, they seem kind of silly. Not that this life doesn't matter or anything, but in the end, all these ghosts say, or all these people that are living in heaven over and over again to the ghosts, they just say that their mind is fixed on one thing, and that's Christ. Their mind is just fixed on Jesus, and they want so much for the ghosts to fix their mind on Jesus. And so as I'm looking at this Jesus praying all night, he isn't trying to do a big heroic feat. His holiness is not him trying to lift a heavier and heavier weight. He's living in that heavenly realm, and he has one single focus in his life, and that's God. everything else is only meaningful in as far as it points towards God. He has a single devotion, and that's what keeps him up throughout the night. And it reminds me of the early days of dating my wife, where we would stay up and talk till 2 a.m. and just, you know, I could lose sleep like that. You know, it was just a snap of a finger. It didn't matter. I was just so fascinated by the mystery of this woman I was coming to know. And now I'm married to and continue to get to know. It was just this fascination. And so I think this seeing Jesus praying all night and calling out to the 12 to come to him has reminded me, and maybe as we meditate on this together, reminded you to pray for this fascination with God. And I think we'll quickly find that he works great things in our lives, great graces in our lives. And then the last thing, in verse 13, talks about how he called the 12. And in Mark's gospel, one translation read, instead of he called the 12, it said he created the 12 to be with him. And I think that that is also a beautiful reflection. He created us to be with him. And so why wouldn't we pass the night? I'm not recommending that we all stay up 24/7 or lose sleep, but why wouldn't we be so fascinated that we would lose time, waste time with our Lord? So that's something to meditate with today.
Thank you for listening to today's reflection. If you enjoyed today's reflection, please consider supporting the With You Always podcast and the other Come Follow Me projects through a financial gift. You can join our support team by visiting comefollow.me/support. Or if you prefer, you can donate through Venmo using the username CoFOME. That's CoFOME. 100% of all financial gifts are used to support Come Follow Me's ongoing and upcoming projects and to further fulfill our mission of assisting disciples on the journey. Thank you in advance for your support. Hi everyone, my name is Eric Gallagher, the founder of Sushipe, the online community and formation platform for disciples. I wanted to take a moment to thank you for listening and also to encourage you to check out our online community at sushipe.co. That's SUSCIPE.CO. At sushipe.co, we're constantly offering free book studies, self-guided mini retreats, opportunities for family fun, prayer, and more. If you're interested in engaging with a community of individuals who are desiring to grow deeper in their spiritual lives, check out sushipe.co and get involved today.